asked to initiate a series of discussions, presentations, even with various aspects of the world of Musa. The term Musa has, of course, many associations, connotations, denotations. In Tanakh, in certain contexts, it relates to the teachings the Musa of the father is a parallel to the Torah of the mother. In other contexts, the discipline Musa Hashem Elokeichem, and in certain contexts, the chastisement, the reproach. In our own minds, to a great extent, it's associated with a given historical phenomenon, the Musa movement initiated by Yisrael Salantis Chalini Vracha, with a very strong emphasis on building individual personal character, an introspective self-discipline, and an ethical conduct. All of these associations interact and intersect. We don't need to choose between them in terms of our overall attitude of involvement and engagement with learning of Musa. But at any given time, we might want to focus on one particular aspect. Given the time of year that we're in, we want to deal with an aspect which is central, as already indicated, the world of Musa, and central essentials of these times. And indeed, the history of the Musa movement, the focus, the emphasis upon Elul as a special season, a special time of year, attained new heights previously unencountered in the world of Halacha, the world of Machshava. There was mention made, of course, Elul being a particular time, the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, 40 days before Yom Kippur. But the intensity, which at times took the form of almost active passivity, something Dili Chachma Musa would conduct, the Tanis Dibu, they wouldn't talk for Shcher Shalta Yom Kippur. That was very endemic, very characteristic of that movement. Consequently, both the spirit of the times and the spirit of the world of Musa as it exists within the yeshiva world, I want to focus on the common denominator, the conjunction of Musa and Tshuva. In both, as I've indicated, there's an overwhelming emphasis on introspection. Cheshbon HaNefesh, taking pause and taking stock, looking before and after with an eye to remorse on the one hand and regeneration on the other. In many respects, this is not an exclusive Torah value, not an exclusive Jewish value, not even an exclusive religious value. The sense that the unexamined life is not worth living goes back to Plato and Socrates. But obviously it has a very special quality, very special meaning within the context of the world of Avodas Hashem, and it's that that we relate particularly. We ask ourselves, in terms of halacha, what is the source in halachic categories of tshuvas and mitzvah? It says a mitzvah because we could deal with tshuva in two planes. Were there no mitzvah? Were there no chiyuv? And I say there isn't, but were there no chiyuv? Would anyone imagine a person go through life without taking stock, without examining the course of his life and his actions, the kind of person he is and he wants to be. Goyim presumably don't have a mitzvah of tshuva as such. What kind of goy wants to be an Eved Hashem, be indifferent to himself or to his relationship to the Ben Shleilam? In Kippur at Minche, Chazal Misakin, to read the Sefer Yoina, which reflects the universal character of tshuva. And yet, within our tradition, our sensibility, Godal Mitzuvah is Shere Mitzuvah. Contrary to the instinctive sense of popular morality, which imagines that whatever you do when you're not commanded and you do it on a voluntary basis is more praiseworthy than that which you do, which you must do it because it's been imposed upon you, it's not understood that the existence of a mitzvah adds a dimension to a performance, to an action, to a course of action, which goes beyond that which you would have had if a person would do it purely out of his own volition. And if that's the case with regard to mitzvahs generally, presumably that should be reflected in our sense of tshuva. And it's meaningful to us to try to examine and to define what is the source of tshuva. As a mitzvah, not only as a general value, as a religious value, as a moral value, but as a mitzvah. And if we look at that sense in the Rishonim, two Rishonim, as we should, we find on two of the primary Rishonim a difference of opinion as to where the mitzvah of tshuva is formulated, and a difference which perhaps relates not only to what is the text, where in the Torah do we find it, but given a sense of the context, perhaps different conceptions of tshuva emerge. Instinctively, intuitively, we want to define a category of a mitzvah, find a source. We look to the Rambam. And the Rambam, a prefatory remark before any group of halachas, he has a brief definition, brief formulation of what the mitzvah is. The Chashuvah, he says, mitzvah se'achat, v'u she'yashuv achotei b'cheto lifnei Hashem v'yitvada. Person should repent of his sin for the Ben Shleilam and confess. This is in the preface. Yes, the body of the halacha, he starts, Kol mitzvot shebaTorah, bein aseh, bein lo taseh, im avar adam al achat mehen, bein bezadon, bein bishgaga, kishe yaseh tshuva, yashuv mecheto, חייב להתוודות לפני הקהל ברוך הוא שנאמר איש וישוע כי יעשו וכולי והתוודו את חטאתם אשר עשו זה וידוי דברים וידוי זה מצוות עשה. And then he goes on to give you a formulation of how vidu should read. What is striking in the Rambam here? I'm not going to get involved in the question which is raised in the Michas Chinuch and to arrive at very strange conclusions with regard to this. He was of the opinion that the Rambam didn't think tshuva was a mitzvah, but the vidu was a mitzvah. And the mitzvah was, if you want to do tshuva, be misvade. If you don't want to do tshuva, pay the price. But there's no normative demand, no additional mitzvah, over and above, of course, the need to correct, to mend your ways. But as far as being an additional mitzvah to do, engage in that mending, he thought there was no such mitzvah. This is a very strange doctrine, but I pass over that. What do we see in the Rambam here? A very narrowly based conception and description of tshuva. It's narrowly based in two respects. Number one, the Rambam does not speak here of a general inventory comprehensive cheshbon nefesh. He focuses upon an isolated shortcoming. First was Galeach Betar, he was Malva Beribis, he spoke Lashon Hara. A single Aveire, and on a single occasion. God does not speak here of a person that become habituated to some form of vice or sin. He was over once, and one Aveire. The scope is very limited. Secondly, and this is possibly in line with the scope, the nature of what's demanded is also seems to be limited. Rambam focuses on a relatively technical course when he does tshuva and yeshuva bechato, that is required to say vidui. In that respect, you have a sense of confronting a mitzvah, which in terms of specific content, of course, has its own unique character, but in terms of its overall nature, is not significantly different from Tidus Lulav, Achilles Matzah, wearing tzitzis, or any other mitzvah. It is then, hence, doubly limited, at least at the point of departure. Later on, for sure, the Rambam has other things to say. The Rambam, on the other hand, has a very different description, a prescription of what tshuva is all about. He sees tshuva as related to the context of the parsha in Nitzavim, which speaks of the overall relationship, A, not of an individual, but of Klal Yisrael, to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and evidently in a comprehensive way. First half in Nitzavim, much of the first half, speaks of an individual or community which has fallen on evil ways, subsequently punished by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and following that parsha, there's Golus. It's a comprehensive chet, and therefore comprehensive punishment. And then the Torah goes on. Vayach yivoh lach kol adrim meile habracha v'aklala shenatati lefanecha v'ashivotei levovecha b'chol aguim v'ashitichacha Hashem alkecha shama. Take heed, give thought, turn inwardly wherever you've been dispersed by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And then, under those circumstances, dispersed in very old quarters of the globe, then v'shavta at Hashem Elokecha v'shamata v'kolo k'chol asher anochi mitzavecha hayom ata uvanecha b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha. This is to some, in some respects, a prediction, in other respects a normative demand. V'shavta v'shamata. What's involved here is not a particular act in relation to a very narrow focus. A comprehensive return, shemata b'kolo, a submission to the voice of the man of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and it encompasses the familiar unit, atav v'necha. And this is done b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha. The pasuk then goes on to describe what in turn the Rabbeinu Shem will do for us. V'shor Hashem alkecha tshvutcha v'richamecha v'shor v'kibetzcha b'kol amin v'shvitzcha Hashem alkecha shama. Skip a few psukim. V'mor l'Hashem alkecha levavcha v'levav zarecha l'avat Hashem alkecha b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha. And it concludes, Ki tishma b'kol Hashem Elokecha, לשמור מצוותיו וחוקותיו הכתובה בספר התורה הזה, כי תשוב אל השם אלוקיך בכל לבבך ובכל נפשך. Yeah, those two verbs, the overall ki tishma, you heed the voice, you heed the call of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that becomes, in practice, translates into the observance of mitzvotav, chukotav, the whole complex, the whole range, the whole discipline, haktuva b'sefer Torah hazeh, and again, that in the intensity, b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha. It's not clear, though, this is talking about what we call tshuva. In the next pasuk, ki ha-mitzvah hazot asher anochi mitzavcha hayom lo nifleiti mimcha lo rechoka hi. This mitzvah, which I command you today, is not wondrous, not distant. It's not in the heavens. You have to ask yourself, who can ascend heavenward and bring it down? It is not overseas. What is this mitzvah? Rabban is too pshati. One, he says, mitzvah zot refers to the total complex of mitzvahs. The whole works. As we say, someone is a shema mitzvah, we mean not a particular mitzvah, but the whole code, the whole codex, to all of that he's committed and he's observant. That's his first shot, kol haTorah kula. But then he says, no. When the Torah wants to speak of mitzvah with respect to the totality, ki al kol haTorah yomah kol haMitzvah shorachim mitzvah hayom. But the mitzvah hazot, a single mitzvah singled out, al ha-tshuva niskeret, ki v'shivotah levavecha, v'shavtah ad Hashem alokecha, mitzvah sheyitzaveh otonu lasot kein. V'ne'emra b'lshon ha-beinoni, the grammatical form that is employed, lirmoz b'avtacha, ki atid ha-dvar liyot kein. The Torah fuses here a normative prescription, a command, and a prediction and a promise, it's going to happen. So the Rambam is the source for tshuva, and the Rabban is the source for tshuva. How different are they? It's like day and night. The Rambam speaks of a particular individual, a single Maisa Avera, and a single Maisa Tshuva. The Rabban speaks of a collective national rehabilitation with the totality of Kirkus HaNefesh, an energizing of all our spiritual capacities, B'chol Levavcha B'chol Nafshecha. And repercussions which also go beyond that. What are the stakes for the tshuva which the Rambam is speaking? A person did an aveira, so he shouldn't do an aveira. But a person's world does not yet collapse. And certainly the communal world, the national world, the universal world does not yet collapse. A person did an aveira once. So he has to be misakid that which he did, and do it in a serious way, an intense way, to confront himself, confront his deeds, to commit himself to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to mend his ways. But the scales are relatively limited. The Rabban speaks of a revolution. A personal revolution, a familial revolution, a tov anecha, and a national revolution. So indeed, these are two very different conceptions. But they differ in a sense, in a more central man aspect. we speak of tshuva, we can think along two distinctively different tracks. The first was, for lack of a better term, I would call a moral and ethical tshuva, and a religious tshuva. When I say moral and ethical, I don't mean necessarily that which is part of universal ethic. Speak also of manners which are distinctly not universal, whose total ambience is the world of halacha and the world of Torah. What I mean by moral or ethical is the kind of tshuva which is a confrontation with wrongdoing, with evil, with vice, with sin, with one, a lapse of one kind or another. A recognition of that, a determination to change oneself in that respect, a the mending of one's ways, and be more so of the past. What one confronts, look himself in the mirror, searching every nook and crevice in his inner being, an aveira, a chet. That is the more or less moral or ethical conception of tshuva. Tshuva vis-a-vis chet or aveira. Parsha Nitzavim presumably refers to a lifestyle, to a commitment or lack of commitment to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But what it focuses upon is not the degree to which a person has lapsed into evil, evil thoughts, evil actions, evil personality, but his relationship to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And again, the conclusion of the parasha, Ki tashuv el Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha. And in Tanakh, for these two kinds of tshuva, there's a grammatical distinction. The moral, the ethical, speaks of tshuva from shuv u'shuv midachechem ra'im, shuv Hashem mecheto. You divest yourself of evil, you divorce yourself from evil, you leave it behind, you discard it. Life which is charged and suffused and pervaded even at one level or another, that is to be corrected step by step, bit by bit. But it's a tshuva me, from something. The tshuva Parshas Nitzavim is a tshuva not from but to something, or more correctly stated, to someone, to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Person who has left the Ribbono Shel Olam, turned away from him, now turns back. In more radical form, in context of that parasha Nitzavim which the Ramban speaks, is almost a total lapse. Person or community having left the Ribbono Shel Olam altogether. But averting our gaze from the Ribbono Shel Olam and turning away from him, that within the context of tshuva is not necessarily a situation which is total, hopefully not, but partial. To what extent is our relationship to him central to our existence, the focus, the epicenter of our being, or is it marginal or peripheral? We have a corner for him in our lives and in our minds and hearts. but not the central pillar. So this is the Rabban and the Rambam, they said only to the relatively technical as opposed to the more spiritual nature of the tshuva. Not only to the scope and to the intensity, but to the very character. We speak of the term tshuva, shuvu shuvu midachem ra'im, is turning away from. The term shuv in Tanakh has two meanings. Sometimes it means to return. Avraham shav b'mkomo, it says at the end of the parsha of the Akedah. Came back home. Sometimes it means simply to turn away. We read this last week's parsha. Hayam achanecha kadosh, ki yireh b'chol avad avar v'shav me'acharecha. Turn away. And we use the term tshuva, tshuva, the God of tshuva. We use it in both senses. A turning away from wrongdoing, both in terms of our emotional involvement and engagement to it, the appeal that it has to us, and at the level of practical discipline, practical enactment, and a return. A return to what is, what ought to be, the center of our being. Homing in, as it were, on ultimate reality. Returning to the Bnei Shleilim, which in, who is in one respect, our natural home, our natural base. There's something unnatural about Chet. It's very appealing in many respects, but it's unnatural. It's a deviation. And returning to him is re-establishing our relationship to him, but it's also a re-establishing of ourselves. For if we ask ourselves, do we adopt the Rambam, do we adopt the Ramban? The answer, of course, for us is we do not need to choose, we do not want to choose, and we cannot choose. We do not have the conception of the world of halacha so rich in detail and so committed to the notion that details count. We don't entertain the notion that tshuva, normally, under special circumstances, maybe yes, but normally the tshuva is some kind of a leap, a light goes on, and a person, techa de'dibur, makes a leap of faith, moves from one level of existence to another. The world of tshuva, as Chazal conceived it, is one which entails a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, a lot of effort, a lot of involvement, a lot of engagement. So in that respect, it's the Rambam multiplied many times over. Over one avera, another avera, many averas on many occasions, and we need to confront each and every one of them honestly, meaningfully, profoundly. But if we think only in terms of the Rambam at the opening here, later on, Hay and Zayin, the Rambam speaks in different terms. We don't do justice to tshuva. We don't do justice to ourselves. Don't do justice to the Mishlein. To live a world, a life of halacha, is to live in two planes. One with noble, majestic spiritual ideals. Another one of nitty-gritty details, minutiae, and ultimate goals. That's what Yahadus is all about. That's the life of which we intend to live. And celebration within the context of tshuva has a double focus in another respect. With this, I'll conclude. Spoke of tshuva's introspection, life self-examination. We have examination, we think, to go to a doctor, he gives you a checkup and he examines you. And the Rambam liked in many contexts to think of the spiritual life through the use of the medical metaphor. In one respect that's correct, in another one it's totally incorrect. When the doctor examines you, he sees what's there. Nothing changes in the process of being examined. Whatever he finds, whatever the laboratory findings are, these correspond to the existing reality. Spiritual self-examination, tshuva, in one respect you find what's there, in many respects what's there may be ugly. But the process of examination itself is a creative one. The Rav stressed this all the time. In the process of looking into what you have been, that in itself energizes you spiritually, and you build and mold something which was not there in the process itself. And that which you mold is a personality which is more deeply and more profound and more meaningfully spiritual in both respects. In terms of one's moral and ethical standing and stature, and in terms of one's relationship to the Bnei Shalila. For us, these are logically distinct, existentially, totally interactive. And the challenge of the world of tshuva is a challenge to be able to look through both sides of the telescope, focus even technically, at times mechanically, about very particular details, and yet to maintain, to sustain, and to enable, and to create the grand vision. To perfect yourself with regard to minutiae, and to mold yourself in the process of self-perfection and self-examination. It's a daring challenge, it's a daunting challenge, but it's not only a challenge. We think of the world of Avodas Hashem. We think of it as a challenge, we also think of it as an opportunity. And tshuva, almost more than any other aspect of our spiritual life, is in one sense so deeply obligatory, so deeply mechayev, in another sense such a marvelous and wondrous opportunity for restoring ourselves, restoring our relationship to Bnei Shalom, and restoring the two within and through a single process.